Greetings. This is Justin Allen, the Elite Nurse Practitioner. Welcome to the Elite Nurse Practitioner Show, a podcast dedicated to nurse practitioner entrepreneurism and achieving financial freedom, where I talk directly with nurse practitioners who need help. Listen up. Our market is saturated. Jobs can be scarce. We are underpaid. We are undervalued. We are taken advantage of by the sharks within the healthcare system, and frankly, screw that, sick of it, and it's time for a change. And listen, I'm here to help make that happen. We are powerful. We can forge a path where we are in control of our career and ultimately our financial and personal well-being. You do not need to submit to healthcare administrators and your doctor overlords. You do not have to take the measly salary. You do not have to work 50 to 60 hours a week. There is a different way, and I'm here to show you that path. This podcast is raw and unfiltered. I have not talked to the nurse practitioners in this podcast prior to the call outside of an email exchange to schedule the episode. What you're about to listen to is a consultation session between a nurse practitioner and myself. It is real, it is unscripted, it is unplanned, and I have no idea what we're going to talk about. Anything and everything can happen during our conversation. The nurse practitioners in these episodes are struggling with an issue in their professional or financial life, and they have reached out to me for help. My goal is to help the nurse practitioner with actionable advice that will enhance and improve their professional, business, and financial life. My other goal is to hopefully help my nurse practitioner sisters and brothers build a more productive, powerful, and free life. So I hope the content and information within these podcast episodes does just that. All right, on to the episode. Hello, everyone. Today, we'll be talking to Jasmine, who is a psych nurse practitioner. Currently, she is working part-time at an intensive outpatient center. She recently started a niche binge eating telemedicine practice 2 to 3 weeks ago. She has one client so far and is needing assistance with telemedicine marketing success, scope of practice considerations, and how to navigate the process of leaving her job and diving into her practice full-time. Hey, Jasmine, how are you?
I'm doing well. Justin, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for hopping on here. So let's go ahead and get started. So tell us a little about yourself. How long have you been a psych nurse practitioner for, and what sorts of things you've been doing?
So I'm actually a newer nurse practitioner. I was a registered nurse that became licensed in 2018. I've been a nurse practitioner for about a year now.
Okay. All right. So you're just fresh then into this.
I am fresh.
Yeah. Okay. How old are you?
I'm 27.
27. Oh my. Okay. I think you might be one of the youngest ones we've had on here.
Wow.
I think. Yeah.
I figured.
Yeah. So, okay. Good for you. You know, most people don't, they don't even consider doing this until their mid 30s. So, you know, diving into entrepreneurism at your age is, a recipe for very, very early success and financial freedom. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. So awesome. Okay, cool deal. So, so you are working at an outpatient, like an intensive outpatient, like detox center or something?
Yes. Well, we don't do any detox. After they finish from detox, they either go to like a crisis stabilization or go to like inpatient, and then they come to us for like a step down before we send them to regular outpatient where they meet with the provider once a month. So,
okay, got you. So pretty, it's not really a crazy job then.
No, it's really not.
Yeah. Okay. So you're doing that just part-time. So have you only worked part-time as an NP so far, or?
So I actually have two part-time jobs as an NP, but the other one is very part-time as in like, I see maybe like four patients a week as a 1099.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So between those two, pretty much been part-time.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. So tell us a little about, why you wanted to start this practice.
So really, because I just have never seen myself working for somebody for an extended period of my life. I've always had that ambition and drive to kind of do things on my own, kind of get my experience and go. I was an oncology nurse to begin with. I worked in an outpatient oncology. I've been outpatient my whole career. And then during that, I was also doing like psych nursing and all of that fun things. So I have had a lot of experience doing that, and I have always wanted to just do my own thing, tired of clocking in, tired of being underpaid, tired of being treated. I'm down in the South, so the way nurse practitioners are treated, we're literally like second-class citizens out here. So just really wanting to kind of take charge of my own life, create my own hours, do care my own way, not deal with insurance companies. So,
gotcha. Well, I'm glad that you've come to all these realizations at such a young age and such, you know, such an early phase in your career. So, you know, hopefully you will be able to avoid a lot of the burnout and just resentment that tends to happen as you, dive into the system, you know, longer and longer and longer. I mean, after being in the traditional system for 10 years or so, you just get so jaded to it all, you know? So, yeah. So hopefully it'll help maintain your, you know, your energy and whatnot. So, okay, cool. So you started a online binge eating telemedicine practice. So why did you pick that niche specifically?
Well, food addiction specifically. So in my regular job, I also have experience. We do a lot of, you know, co-occurring substance abuse and mental health, you know, they go hand in hand. And a lot of my clients also have food addiction, as well as binge eating, emotional eating problems. So with listening to the other nurse practitioners who are, you know, have done your show, I was really inspired with the weight loss. But of course, I'm not family, so I don't know how that would blur in terms of my scope of practice. So I was thinking, how can I apply my psych skills to, you know, doing something that has to do with like weight management? So people with food addictions tend to be on the heavier side. So I came up with the plan to treat food addiction specifically with weight loss, because a lot of weight loss medications are psych medications, funny enough. So to treat food addiction with the side effect or with the outcome of also losing weight, if that makes sense.
Makes sense. Yeah. Okay. So I guess your first issue here is this, you know, is this within your scope? Like, what is it that you're doing exactly? Right.
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, I am not, you know, a legal expert, in every single Board of Nursing's regulation. Okay. So first off, each state has a little bit slightly different scope of practice definitions. Some states have a very defined scope of practice for nurse practitioners, and other states, it's pretty open to interpretation. Overall, okay, generally it is defaulted to you. So basically, your scope of practice falls within your it's your responsibility. It falls into your hands. Okay. So the Board of Nursing, Board of Medicine, et cetera, you know, they basically say, you know, providers, you've had this training, you've went to school, whatever, you know, as long as you're not hurting patients, as long as you're not killing people, you know, as long as you're doing what you've been trained to do and you're doing things within reason, then there's really no issue. You know, there's really just no issue to worry about. Okay. So as long as you're staying within reason, okay, you should be okay. I mean, you know, as a psych NP, should you be treating ankle sprains? Probably not. You know, that's pretty clear cut stuff. Like, you know, orthopedic complaints, does that really fall within your scope? Probably not, right? So, but things that are kind of in the middle here, like that kind of blurred zone, that gray area, you know, like weight management, for example, like I get a lot of psych NPs that ask me all the time, you know, can I do weight loss? Can I do hormone replacement therapy, et cetera? And the general answer is yes, you can, as long as you are doing it from the perspective of a psych NP, right? Because your scope is psychiatric mental health, right? So you cannot do it for a physical issue, but you can do it for more of like a mental health issue. So, yeah. So if their obesity is causing depression, then, you know, sure. Why give them an antidepressant when you could treat their underlying, you know, the underlying cause of their depression, their obesity? It makes no sense. I mean, why would you do anything else? Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so binge eating, that's a psychiatric condition, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
DSM-5. It's even in the DSM-5.
Right. Overeating, like binge eating, stuff like that. So if you are prescribing things from that from that diagnosis, then you're fine. Okay. So there's really not a whole lot to worry about. Now the question is, can you prescribe things like semaglutide? Can you prescribe things like phentermine, tirzepatide? You know, can you prescribe some of those other weight loss medications that aren't necessarily a psych med, right? Like Contrae, for example.
Exactly.
Right. You know, In my opinion, I think, you know, I don't see an issue with that. If that's treating the underlying condition that causes their mental health issue, then there could be justification for you prescribing that.
Yes. And I, okay, where the state I'm in is very gray. The rules are extremely up to, it seems like it's just up to interpretation as to how they like to execute things. So I've been trying to use that to my advantage to kind of just, like, you know, treat with whatever I diagnose them with. Hey, you have a food addiction. I'm going to treat you with, you know, semaglutide. Only thing is, a lot of times they say, unless you're maybe prescribing an antipsychotic, which makes people gain weight, you're not really doing anything in terms of, like, their psych management, if that makes sense. So the only time that I could prescribe semaglutide would be if I put them also on an antipsychotic. So, you know, just trying to work around those things, just for, like, the legality of it and everything. So, but like you said, if I'm treating, you know, it from a binge eating perspective or a food addiction perspective, then I should be fine.
Right. As long as you justify it in your note.
Yes.
You know, I'm treating their binge eating condition with, you know, I don't know what, like, some Zoloft or something. Mm-hmm. But they're also 80 pounds overweight, and this is contributing to their depression, their anxiety. So we're going to do a 6-month, you know, cycle of semaglutide or something. Like, how is that not justifiable?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't think that I would worry too much about it. And ultimately it would be, you know, as long as there are no clear cut definitions that state that you cannot do that. Like you said, it's very open for interpretation. And at the end of the day, what would happen is if something was to occur, you would be, you know, called by the board of nursing. You would get a nasty letter in the mail, basically, and you would have to go in front of the board and justify what it is that you're doing. And at the end of the day, it's, you know, your argument and then basically the opinion of the people on the board, on the board itself. Like,
absolutely. And I can defend myself. Like, I feel as though I can, because I'm not lying about it. It's an actual condition that I'm treating that contributes to their, you know, mental health. So
right. 100%. I agree. Yeah. You know, I mean, I've seen psych NPs prescribe hormone replacement therapy for decades, you know, like, yeah, a little Synthroid or whatever for subclinical hyperthyroidism. Wow. It magically cures your anxiety. Like, why wouldn't you? Well, look at that. Wow.
Look at that.
Right. Why wouldn't you do that? You know, it doesn't, like, what? But instead, put them on Zoloft, like, treat the underlying problem, you know? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I think you're probably fine as long as you're doing everything within reason. So with that said, so how's business so far?
So, okay. I don't really have much business. And that's not because, you know, it's just nothing is happening. I'm a little bit analysis paralysis, kind of scared of really putting myself out there, really diving into marketing, because I am a little bit afraid to fail. I did a course of Facebook ads. I put like $200 in it. I got like maybe 10 people to, you know, reach out to me, but a lot of them, half of them were asking if I take insurance. I don't take insurance. So just maybe some tips on how to, like, navigate that, and like how aggressive I should be with marketing. Like, what are we talking here? Like, how much is it, thousands that I should put in at once, or what can I do, you know, to get the most bang for my buck, basically?
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, what have you been doing so far?
So I've really got into your articles, you know, on the website. I have been posting into, like, you know, Facebook groups within my community. I did a round of Facebook ads, and, you know, that's pretty much it. I printed out marketing material. I was going to take them to, you know, gyms, clinic, PCP offices. I have a bariatric surgeon who's about 15 minutes away from me. I was going to take some flyers to him. So I was kind of looking for some guidance in terms of how I should really start marketing this, given that it's coming from a psych perspective, not a weight loss perspective. So I don't know if I should just go ahead and market it as weight loss and just have in my documentation that it's psych. So just kind of navigating what my marketing should look like, so I'm the most effective that I can be.
Well, I mean, you need to be kind of transparent. You know, you can't say you're just a weight loss clinic. You know, I don't think that's going to, like, if something was to happen, they're going to look at your marketing materials and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, yeah, if there's ever an investigation or something, or if something went wrong, they're going to look at your website. They're going to look what you're, you know, what it is that you're doing.
Okay.
So you really should be transparent, you know, weight loss, you know, treating weight loss. Yeah. You're going to have to word this a certain way. So it would have to be something along the lines of, you know, treating your mental health condition, but treating the underlying cause of it, obesity. So, you know, your ad copy for your ads are going to have to be something along the lines of, you know, is your depression and anxiety stemming from your weight? Do you find yourself eating too much and you just can't control it? Okay. Like you need to basically state the problem, okay, on your website and in your ad copy, state the problem. The problem is that you're eating too much food, right? Yes. And you say something along the lines of, you know, you might realize that you actually have a mental health condition called binge eating disorder, overeating disorder, whatever it is. And here we specialize at treating that, and we also treat your weight. You know, separate yourself a little bit here. Yeah, so you're going to have to twist. You're going to have to put the mental health issue in there. You're going to have to put the depression, the anxiety, you know. Are you overweight and are you depressed? You know, it's probably stemming from your metabolic syndrome. It's probably stemming from, you know, your obesity, et cetera, right? So you want to make sure that you kind of do it that way. Does that make sense?
Yes. And then let me ask you this, Justin. My marketing material, you said to make it painfully obvious. I've really listened to what you've said to make things very painfully obvious. So in like my marketing material, I put in big letters, food addiction treatment, binge eating treatment, and like weight management. Is that what I should be doing? Or should I, you know, just put like my business name, which is really general, like, you know, it's just like wellness, my name, wellness solutions. So what do you
think? I think the name needs to be something that says that gets the point of the weight management and the mental health, like just make it very apparent. Like that needs to be in the name.
Okay.
You know, like, well, you know, it really depends. I mean, if you want to go with the overeating, binge eating disorder kind of niche, which I think is a great niche, and I think it really separates you. I think it makes you a little more unique. Okay. I think that should be your play. You know, the binge eating clinic, you know, the whatever Institute of Eating Disorders or something like that. And then in the subheading is, you know, do you overeat? We can help. You know, something like that.
Oh, I like that. That's so simple and it just seems so effective. Do you overeat? We can help.
Right. That's it.
I've been saying treat the source, not the symptom. Going by food addiction is your problem and your symptom will be weight loss, if that makes sense. So actually, like, do you overeat?
We can help. Just keep it at that. Yeah. I mean, right. That just came out of my ass, but yeah. Hopefully it helps.
It's clear though. It's really clear and it's quick. Something that doesn't take up too many lines. So that's honestly what I was kind of looking for.
Yeah, it's super simple, you know. Now the actual name of the practice itself, you're gonna have to probably put a little bit of some thought into that, you know. It needs to be, you know, that's just the sub-eating, you know, or the subheading, you know. Do you overeat? We can help. So like the actual name of it, you know, like I said, the overeating help center, the overeating clinic, you know, something like that. And then I think that your niche should be that, you know, you are treating that, but you're also managing people's weight. Cause that's playing into all their other symptoms, their anxiety, their poor sleep, their depression, et cetera. Right.
Yes.
Right. And so you're just going to make the website very clear on what it is that you do and how all of this ties together, but explain it in like fifth grade language.
Okay.
Like I see some nurse practitioner websites for their practices and I'm like, geez, I don't want to read this wall of text. I'm not going to, I'm sorry. I got other things to do. I'm not going to sit here and read this wall of text. If I'm not going to read it, do you think a patient's going to read this? I guarantee they're not going to. So fifth grade language, things for the attention span of a fifth grader.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
20 second little, you know, clips of words. So very, very straightforward. you know, and then you can have some articles on your website that'll make you the expert. You know, that'll show the world that, you know, that you know what you're talking about, and you can start going in a little bit more detail in the articles, you know, 500 to 1,000 word articles on your website. It'll help with search engine optimization. It'll help people find you a lot easier. And it just makes you look, you know, legitimate, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you do that now, how many states are you in? Are you just doing this in one state right now?
So I'm in two states. One, you know, I'm restricted here in the South, and then I'm also licensed in New Mexico.
Okay.
And that I just picked a state that was full practice.
Right.
Why?
I got you. Okay. New Mexico is one of those states that, you know, New Mexico, Mississippi, these lower income states, might be a little bit difficult, to get some cash patients, just FYI. Okay. So, you know, one thing that I like to do is when you're picking out states for a telemedicine practice, you know, what you want to do is you obviously want to go to the AANP website and look at which states are independent, right?
Yes.
Pick independent states if you can. And then also then look at like just general U.S. Census demographic data. So look at like average household income, average education level, those kinds of things. Okay. And when you look at those, you'll see that some of the poorest states, you know, they might not be the best states to be in, but at the same time, there might not be a whole lot of people in those states providing services. And there's always going to be people in those states who do, you know, who still have money. Right. So, does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you already have a license, I mean, a license in New Mexico, go ahead and utilize it and see what happens. But start looking into some other states as well, some higher population states, because, you know, there's probably people in Arizona, Washington State, Oregon, et cetera, that, you know, that probably have eating disorders that would like, you know, that would like treatment. And so if I was you, I would focus on probably getting some licenses in maybe about 4 or 5 other states and then start marketing in those states. And just be very, very clear with, you know, what it is that you do. So how do you get patients, right? People are going to be looking for you. I don't know if people are going to be be looking specifically at overeating or binge eating treatment. I mean, I'm sure some people are. That would be easy to convert. You would basically just have Google search ads in the states that you're in. So for anyone who types in binge eating disorder, binge eating treatment, overeating, you know, symptoms, overeating disorder, whatever those keywords are, your clinic should pop up if you use some Google search ads.
Yes.
Okay.
And that was another like concern I was having. Are people calling that behavior binge eating, or like, what are they labeling that as, that behavior as? I'm not sure if everybody knows, you know, what binge eating is, you know, so put it under weight loss, and then
You're gonna have to do a little bit of some research here. You know, okay. Are people typing in binge eating? You know, probably not a whole lot of them are.
Yeah.
Right, but are people typing in, why am I hungry all the time? Why can't I stop eating? Mm. They're asking those questions in Google. I guarantee it.
Mm.
See what I mean? You have to just experiment with this.
Okay.
So if someone goes to Google and types in, why am I still hungry after, you know, after eating a meal, or why am I always hungry, or why can't I stop eating? If they type that into Google and you pop up as the top search result for a search ad says, are you overeating? We can help. The overeating clinic, or whatever you want to call it. They're going to click it.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
I was looking at like keywords, like, you know, overeating, weight loss. I didn't know you could like actually put in full phrases like that or full questions.
You can in some. Yeah. You can. You might have to be a little bit more specific than that, you know? So, So you could do that. You know, another thing that you can do too is, you know, exactly what you did, you know, you call, bariatric surgeons, provide the information, give it to them. You know, where are these people located at? You know, you could advertise directly there. Get involved with online communities. Okay. Get involved with Facebook groups and message boards, et cetera, that talk about these things.
overeating, binge eating, obesity, etc. You get in there, spend 30 minutes a day being part of that community and get in there and talk with people. Okay. You will get patients that way too. You know, that's general, you know, telemedicine marketing success right there. Advertising on social media might not be the best thing. It might be very hard to target those specific people on social media.
That's what I'm finding with the very little marketing that I did. It is.
Right. Is binge eating, overeating, is that an interest?
Like, no, you can't. It does not come up in the little Facebook interest. No. Foodie does though. Foodie. I tried foodie. That came up. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that could be one possibly, you know. So you could experiment with it. You just gotta find that magical interest, that magical demographic, you know, that you can pick on social media.
Okay. And then let me ask you this, in terms like that leads right into my next issue I've been having. How much should I put in order to see, like, to get like enough data to see what works and what doesn't? Like, how much does it really take? Should I do like $1,000 over 10 days, $1,000 over 30 days? Like, which would give me, you know, the best results so I can actually see what's going to work?
Well, first off, that depends on what your budget is. How much money you got to spend on this?
Well, so everything so far has been about like maybe $3,000, just get everything set up and everything. I'm willing to spend up to 10, but I want to be meaningful about it. So
how much money you got to spend on this business?
About $10,000 overall.
So you have $10,000 overall to spend. Yeah. How much money can you keep funneling into this from an advertising perspective? If you have to put a little bit more money into it a little later on.
To kickstart it off, I guess like maybe $5,000 for marketing.
Well, no, I'm talking about like 3 months from now. Like, let's say you're getting some patients, you're kind of breaking even, but you might want to put a little bit more money into it to see what works. Like, that's what I mean.
Okay. I mean, a couple thousand. If it's something that will give me the results I want, I will spend the money.
Right. Okay. So, if you got another, how much money do you have left? $7,000?
Yeah, $7,000. I spent about three.
You spent three already. Okay. You got a nice website and all that stuff. You can get in there and edit it if you need to.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Okay. So first off, spend the time right now, you know, do a play on words for, you know, what we talked about, you know, are you overeating? We can help, that kind of a thing. Get in there, redesign the site, change the ad copy up. Get the website pristine first and foremost. Okay. A telemedicine practice, your website is basically your clinic. Like, it's your office. Okay. So it needs to be nice and it needs to be very, very clear. All right. So spend the time right now to get that done. Okay.
Okay. And when you say pristine, what does that include?
Just easily navigatable. You know, it just looks nice. It makes sense. You know, get on your website outside of the website editor. Like, just get on your website, click around, act like you're a patient. Is shit relevant? Is it right there? Like, you know, is it in your face? Is it easy to navigate? If things are confusing, people got to click lots of buttons to get places and stuff. You know, it's a pain in the ass. People just don't tolerate that anymore. They want it now.
Justin, are you able to just take a quick look at my website by any chance?
Sure.
Okay. So it's
here. Just put it in the chat real quick. Yeah. Yeah. That way you're not broadcasting it to everyone.
Yes.
Yeah. Here, just put it in the chat real quick. We'll take a quick look and I'll just kind of verbalize what I'm thinking as I'm going through it. That way people can kind of just hear my, first off, the domain name needs to change.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So first thing, right? First, the name needs to change. It has your name in it and it doesn't really, you know, it says food addiction treatment and weight wellness. I mean, that kind of tells you what it is, right? But instead, if it said something like, you know, Jasmine's overeating clinic, overeating, we can help. A clinic dedicated to overeating and food addiction, something like that, right at the top. Boom. Okay. So, okay. Okay. This is what this person's doing, right? The little graphic is, that's okay. We focus on the root cause of food addiction and disordered overeating. We focus on your mental health and habits in order to promote long-term weight wellness, reasonable specialized medications and therapy. So first, just say, do you have trouble overeating? So basically, patients click on your website and they need to see a problem. Okay. First and foremost, ask them a question. Are you overeating? Do you have problem? Like, can you stop eating? Are you always hungry, et cetera? Okay. Just ask them a few bulleted questions, right? Identify the problem. Then identify what those problems result in. This can lead to obesity. This can lead to depression. This can lead to anxiety. This can lead to insomnia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then below that, we can help. We are medically trained. I am a psychiatric nurse practitioner. I have a passion for treating people with binge eating disorder and people who, have overeating addiction, problems, food addiction, et cetera. And, we prescribe medications, including Contrave, semaglutide, whatever it is that you do, we can help. Contact us now. Boom. Okay. And then you can have other pages. And if people want to start clicking around, they can. So your navigation bar, has services. Okay, great. Medication assisted treatment, Suboxone. What the hell does that have to do with anything?
Well, because it's psych, because I'm trying to do it from a psych angle, we have medicated assisted treatment, with Suboxone, Naltrexone. So I was trying to tailor that for it to be like with weight loss or with, okay. I'm sorry, food addiction.
Well, maybe.
Don't take that out. That's too Suboxone-y.
I don't need that. Psychotropic drug therapy, psychotherapy, coaching and life skills, weight loss maintenance. Like, it basically needs to just say what it is that you're like, hey, right here where it says conditions we treat, food addiction, binge eating disorder, mental health related, disordered overeating, history of bariatric surgery. That's great. That's the conditions you treat, right? Have that at the very top. Services we provide to treat those things. We treat these things using a combination of therapy and medication, whatever.
Okay.
Okay. And, this little graphic here, this little, this girl walking with the donut chain to her. I like that. Your page should have a bunch of stuff like that on it. Okay.
Okay.
About section here, picture of you, meet the provider. This is great. That's fine. Contact looks, contact us is a pretty straightforward thing. Policies and procedures. I guess this is fine. I'd have probably a tab up there that says pricing as well.
Okay. Another pricing tab. Okay.
All yeah. Right. Overall though, the site's clean. Okay. I like the template. It's simple, straight to the point. Okay. You don't have to do a whole lot here other than just change some wording out and just change some headings and stuff. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. That. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So you're welcome. So do that. All right. And then have some Google search ads, get in some online community, start putting the word out there. Start talking to maybe, sometimes getting on the phone and just calling some places up can result in some actual decent business. Calling some therapists up. Do you have patients that suffer from this? I'm here to help. Here's my information.
Okay.
Okay. Like, therapists are some of the biggest referral sources for psych NPs.
Absolutely.
Right. So getting on the phone and just calling some up, that's free.
Okay.
Right.
Therapist. Okay. And I've done a little bit of that, but I really haven't dived in the capacity that I know I could. So
yeah. Nah, sit down on the phone, spend 4 hours and literally just go to Google and type in therapist in this city. Let's say you get licensed in Phoenix, for example, or Arizona. Therapist Phoenix. You're going to get a list of probably 50 therapists. Start going down the line. Call them up.
Okay.
You're going to get maybe a 10% conversation right here. 10% will probably just, 90% probably won't even bother even talking to you. That's fine. Develop a hard skin for this.
Yes, absolutely.
But All it takes is just a couple people saying, interesting, I actually got a lot of patients that could use that help.
Okay.
And then you'd be amazed at what kind of some referral sources like could really give you a lot of business. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for me just sitting down and calling some people up. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when I started my medical cannabis clinic, business was kind of slow at first. So I'm like, I'm going to call the dispensaries up in my, you know, in the region, basically. I'm going to call all these dispensaries up that are within a 2-hour drive of where I'm at. Call the dispensary up. Ah, no, thanks. We already have a provider here. Ah, no, thanks. Ah, whatever, whatever, whatever. I don't know what number it was, the 10th dispensary, or whatever it was. I mean, this was 5 years ago or something now. I called the dispensary up and it happened to be just kind of one of the biggest dispensary chains in the state. And they were like, oh, hey, we actually do need a provider, a doctor here or whatever to do cannabis evaluations. Yeah. And my regional manager is actually standing right next to me. He wants to talk to you. Like the regional manager of the largest dispensary chain in my state happened to be next to this girl when I called them. And he said, fantastic. Yes, I actually need a couple. You know, he's like, I actually need a provider at two of my locations. Let's talk it over. And so we went and grabbed like a beer, like the next day, hit it off. And because of that relationship, okay, I was able to go from my medical cannabis clinic from doing, you know, $1,000 a month or whatever, to like $20,000 a month. And all of that money I made was, you know, I was able to use to create my men's health practice. I was able to use that money to start Elite NP. I was able to use that money to invest in real estate. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that 5-minute phone call.
Wow. Okay. I need that type of phone call.
That's not going to magically happen unless you go on the phone and start calling people. That's all it takes is literally just get on the phone and start calling people. You will never know what will happen. You might be on the phone for 8 hours, then finally you get a hold of someone. It's just, you got to develop a thick skin for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Don't take it personally. Because as soon as you hang up that phone, I can guarantee you they're not going to remember who you were ever again. They're going to go home and do whatever they do every night, and that you will not be on their mind. So don't take it personally. They don't care who you are.
Okay, I will definitely do that.
You just need to do it. Right. Exactly. Okay. So if you do those things, the telemedicine practice should. It should work. Okay. You should make some money here. You just stay focused though. Okay. I didn't like on your website all this other crap that you were doing. Life coaching and Suboxone. What the hell does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, I will definitely edit those out.
Edit them out. You don't need it.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Focus on what it is that you're doing.
And I just bought your coaching course. That's so funny.
No, that's fine. You can do that. Okay. You can do coaching with this. Okay. You can coach people on how to overcome their overeating and stuff. Okay. But you just can't prescribe them medication. So let's say, for example, you're licensed in 4 states. You get into a bunch of online communities. Okay. And you offer a lot of free value in there. You're answering people's questions all the time. You know, people are like, hey, are you seeing new patients? Are you seeing new clients? I would love to talk with you. That will happen. Okay. If you're involved in communities online and you can just say, I'm not licensed in that state, unfortunately, but I can help you from a coaching perspective.
Yes.
And that's when you can do some of that therapy and some of those other things, right? Absolutely. Yeah. You can still do that, but just don't make that your focus.
Okay.
Yeah. Now the coaching course that you did purchase, that is predominantly a marketing course.
Yes. I remember you saying that in one of the podcasts. That's why I got it.
Yes. I honestly thought about changing the name of that course a few times to how to develop just an online business through a marketing, like the online marketing business course or something, like how to build a community, how to build like a powerhouse of an online, you know, business. That's really what that course is. The coaching aspect of it is just, it's part of it, you know?
Got you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Take that. Yeah. Listen to it. You're going to follow the steps in it. If you do all those things, you're going to get clients. I promise you will.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So that was a pretty big marketing deep dive there. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
Let me, okay, now pricing. I know it might be a little bit, you know, subjective, but for my, is it okay if I give you actual numbers?
Sure.
For my initial consult, it includes medication and, you know, their initial assessment and everything. Now, it's still, I'm still marketing as psych, and this is what's normal for, you know, what psych providers charge. So it's $279 for the initial appointment, and that includes medications.
Okay.
And then follow up, I'm doing like a membership type model, you know, per the Elite MP recommendation, and it's $187 every month after that. So I'm not sure if my prices are too expensive. With the compounding pharmacies that I'm using, and this is for, of course, like nothing like semaglutide, they'll be completely different pricing, but for like my oral medications, like the contraves, the topiramates, oxytocins, and all these, that's what I kind of have it set at. So what do you think about that pricing?
I think that pricing is pretty reasonable.
Okay.
You know, especially if it includes the first month of treatment, like that's pretty reasonable. Now, you know, when you do something like semaglutide or whatever, it's probably going to be a little more expensive. So you're probably going to have just a couple tiers, you know, a couple different options. But I would say just stick to a baseline sort of subscription price, and then everything else can kind of be like a little bit of an add-on.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's honestly, truly, that's pretty much it. The biggest thing was kind of diving into my marketing and actually really doing it with the cold calling, Google ads, and playing with the, you know, with the keywords I need to use. But yep. Other than that, I think we pretty much covered everything that I needed.
Good deal. Yeah. And your website too. Just make sure it's navigatable and straight to the point. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll edit the Suboxone out.
Yeah. Get rid of that. You know, hey, listen, we're all guilty of it. We all start our own practices and we add a bunch of stuff on there. And then, you know, it's just don't just get rid of it.
Yes.
It's okay. Not necessary. Yeah. Okay, cool. So I like to end the episodes with you asking me a question. You have any questions for me, personal question or any other questions or curiosities or anything like that?
Sure. Okay. So looking back, you know, where you're at now, you're a very successful businessman. Looking back, is there anything you would have done differently or any mistakes that you've made that you can kind of, you know, tell us to avoid?
Sure. I've been asked this before, so I don't want to say the same, you know, say the same answer. There's so many things that, you know, if I could go back and do over again, I would have, you know, I would have done it. I think that one of them would have been having the fear of having a collaborator. One reason why I didn't start a practice in the South, you know, I'm from the Southeast originally. One reason why I didn't start a practice when I was living there was because the collaborator, I made it a roadblock. I didn't make it a speed bump. I made it a roadblock. Like, because I didn't have a collaborator, you know, because I was required to have a collaborator, I can't start a business. I'm not going to do this. And looking back at it now, I know lots of nurse practitioners who have collaborators who have million-dollar practices. Like, you know, it was such a stupid roadblock. Like, you know, I wouldn't have had to move, you know, across the country to a, you know, state in the West that's independent, right? So, you know, that's something that, you know, looking back on it now, I realize it was a stupid fear. It was a stupid limiting belief. It was a stupid roadblock. And then I think the other thing too is I wish I would have got started so much earlier.
Yeah. You do say that often in your shows. So that's honestly, you really did motivate me to just start. I know I could definitely, anybody could benefit from however many years of experience, but I just said, let me just try and see what happens. The worst thing I can do, if it fails, you know, it's not the end of the world. So you've really inspired me just to take that leap of faith. You know, even if it's unmerited, I'm just going to do it and just be confident. And
It's totally merited. What are you talking about? Yeah.
I mean, you know, some people say, oh, you're, you know, get your experience, spend more years before, you know.
Whatever. You know, I don't agree with that. I just don't. You know, I feel like it's people who got a lot of experience before they've opened up their own business telling you, you know, what you should do because that's what they did.
Yeah.
No, okay. I'm sorry, but, you know, treating some overeating disorders and stuff like that, like how is working in an inpatient, you know, an outpatient intensive rehab center, how does that help you exactly?
You're right.
You know, how did working urgent care help me with my men's health clinic exactly? Please tell me, because it really didn't.
Yeah.
You know? So, it's naysayers. Don't worry about it. No, you're good. I wish I would have started within my first year too.
Oh, yeah. Well.
So cool. All right. Well, this was a great episode. If you ever want to do a follow-up, you know, shoot me an email, let me know.
Will do. Justin, thank you so much for your time.
All right, you're welcome. Take care.
You can. Bye.
Bye. All right. I hope everyone enjoyed the episode with Jasmine. Great episode. I mean, that was, you know, a real crash course in, you know, some very important telemedicine marketing considerations you should have. You know, make sure your website's pristine. You know, make sure it is easily navigable. Fifth grade language, fifth grade attention span, guys. Don't write a wall of text. No one's reading a wall of text. They're just not going to. And, you know, experiment with different marketing channels. And get on the phone, call some places up. You know, referral sources, that is a jackpot from a marketing perspective. And it's free too, okay? You will never know what will happen if you just call some places up to get some referrals. Like, you know, you call the right place up, they can provide you a lot of business, okay? So it is definitely worthwhile to get on the phone and call some places up and also get involved in some online communities. There is a Facebook group for just about everything, okay? Get in those communities, get in those Facebook groups, start providing real free value to people. You know, if people are having problems, talk to them about it. You know, don't prescribe them stuff. Don't give them straight up medical advice, but just talk with them and you will get patients that way too. So if Jasmine does all these things, I think she will succeed. So anyways, hope everyone enjoys this episode. Talk to you guys later. Thanks. Bye. Thank you for listening to the show. Quick legal disclaimer. The content of this podcast is meant for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be used as legal, financial, medical, regulatory, or practice-specific advice. For information pertaining to your specific legal, financial, medical, or practice-specific needs, please be sure to consult with your lawyer, CPA, medical director, and or your state's practice laws and the most up-to-date clinical guidelines. As always, do your due diligence when it comes to any information found online and in podcasts. The content in this podcast is copyrighted by Galaxy Medical Southwest 2023 and cannot be duplicated, rebroadcasted, or reproduced without our written permission.